The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. We celebrate today the solemnity of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The feast is one opportunity among many for us to remember what is at the heart of the Eucharist. What is the Eucharist? It's not just a symbolic thinking that this is the body and blood of God, but rather the reality that this indeed is the very flesh and blood of the all-powerful God. And we have this feast because of the issues over many hundreds of years of people not believing what the Church teaches about the Eucharist. And even today, there are many Catholics who do not believe that when we receive communion, that we are truly receiving the very flesh and blood of God. And of course, there are many other Christians who don't believe it as well. So this feast is one attempt of the Church to focus everyone's attention on the reality of the Eucharist. And in most parts of the world, it's celebrated on Thursday after Trinity Sunday. In our country, we celebrate it on Sunday. But it's a feast that helps us to remember what Jesus did for us, what he has given to us in the Eucharist, so that we can faithfully prepare to receive the Eucharist. Now, if we were truly believers, truly aware of what was going on, what might change in our lives. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone here does not believe that it is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ, flesh and blood of God. I'm not suggesting that. But do we really understand what is happening in the Eucharist? Do we really understand the consequences of our coming to Mass and actually eating the flesh of God and drinking the blood of God? Because there are consequences. If we have a heart, a desire that is all about doing what God wants us to do, to be faithful, then we're eating to our salvation. We're drinking to our salvation. If, however, we're not thinking of what we are doing, if we cavalierly come in just to get it over with, then we might be eating and drinking to our damnation. Because, again, there are consequences to what we are doing right now. In fact, one writer, a convert to Catholicism, put it this way, that for the most part, we Christians are on kind of a cosmic tour of the universe. We don't really know what's going on. Maybe we dress up, maybe we don't. But she said that if we really, really, really understood what we were doing on a Sunday morning celebrating the Eucharist, we would put crash helmets on. We would put life preservers on. We would have the ushers lashing us to the pews. Now think of that. Think of that view that she gives us. She's got it right. Because we're not just playing around with a chemistry set, making TNT, that's what she says, but we are actually in a relationship, immediate relationship, dynamic, powerful relationship with the all-powerful God. And with God, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. And again, I'm not suggesting that at any one moment in our lives we have the fullest of understanding and commitment to God. No, God knows that. God knows that. That's why we have sacraments such as the sacrament of confession, so that we can say, yes, Lord, I've gotten off track. I have adopted false gods. I have done what is not what a disciple does. I've not loved you fully. I've not loved my neighbor as myself. So I need to be forgiven so that we can be more faithful in our journey as disciples, more committed when we come Sunday. Because every Sunday, we're celebrating our discipleship, which began in baptism, when we were immersed into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're also recommitting ourselves to what God commands us to do, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to do all those other things we're called to do and avoid those things we're called to avoid. So we're really recommitting ourselves to the journey. And again, with God, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. And that's our life journey, to keep saying, is there anything I have held back from the Lord? Is there anything I'm protecting? Is my ego getting in the way of being a true disciple? And so we have the sacrament of the Eucharist. Yes, it is worship, the most powerful worship, true worship that we can give God. But more importantly, the Eucharist, the Mass, is for us. We're not doing God a favor by coming here and worshiping Him. Why? He doesn't need our worship. He desires it, but He wants it freely given to Him out of love and thanksgiving. But we need the Eucharist. You and I need the Eucharist every week. So the Church says we are obliged. Every Catholic is obliged to attend Mass every weekend for our sake. For our sake, not for God's sake, but for our sake, because we need to be empowered, to be nourished, to be cleansed of our sins. And the Eucharist does forgive sins. It builds us up. It makes us holy. It makes us more like Jesus Christ Himself, so that we can fulfill the demands of our discipleship. So Jesus Christ is not just this human being who is special. He is God who became a human being. So think of the consequences of receiving the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. We are receiving God's divine flesh and blood. This is eternal food. So when we receive the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, we are being made more and more divine, so that in this life we can fulfill the commitment we made in baptism to be faithful disciples, to focus on God and God alone, and also so that we are being prepared by God for heaven. Because only those who are made divine can be with God for all eternity. So God is making us divine beings as we celebrate any of the sacraments, but especially as we celebrate the Eucharist and receive His flesh and His blood. It is true food for the body. It is true food for the soul. It is truly the flesh and blood of the all-powerful God. So again, think of the consequences. Think of the commitment that we are called to give to the Lord as we receive this great gift from the Lord. And we can do it every day if we want. That's how wonderful God is. He does not withhold it from us, but rather he says, come anytime you want, receive of my flesh and my blood so that you can be built up in your discipleship. And so it should be showing in our lives. We should be living what we are receiving each and every day. People out there should in some way, hopefully, notice that we have a joy, a gratitude, a generosity, a kindness, a compassion that's quite extraordinary because of what we are celebrating today and because of God, whom we are following, is the perfection of all those virtues. Where our love is called to stand out, both as individuals, but also as a community, so that people can say, that community of Our Lady of Peace, they are on fire with their love of God. They are so grateful that they withhold nothing from the Lord in service to God and their neighbor. Is that happening? Well, I think it's happening a bit. Could we do better? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the call of God, to give ourselves over fully and completely to God, trusting in his promises, not worrying about us, what's going to happen to us, but rather recognizing we've got the greatest gift possible. It's Jesus Christ. It's the promise of eternal life. Nothing in this life can compare with heaven, eternity with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we always have to ask ourselves, what am I doing with my life? If people were to be asked, where do you think I am as a disciple? Would they say, I didn't even know you were a disciple of the Lord? Or would they say, well, you know, you seem to be a person who's really working at being a Christian disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is always on your lips. You are always grateful. You admit when you are wrong, when you sin. You participate in the sacraments. Hopefully, people would say that about us so that we have a sense that indeed we are on the pilgrimage to the Lord and we're constantly working on it each and every day. And remember also that when you go out into the world after receiving the body and blood of Christ, you are literally a tabernacle of flesh. Just like this tabernacle up here, which holds the consecrated host, the body of Christ, which we did not distribute last night, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, it becomes part of our flesh, part of our blood. It doesn't just disappear. So we are carrying the living God out into the world in his flesh and blood. We are living tabernacles or monstrances. So think of that when you go forth. How do we want to show people that we bear Jesus Christ in our flesh, in our blood, in our very bones? How do we want to show that to other people? So again, that's what this feast is all about, kind of a injection of teaching to remind us of how powerful this sacrament is and of the consequences of our participation in this sacrament and all the sacraments. So this should bring us joy. Maybe if you're a little bit nervous and guilty, good. That's a good thing, because we can always do better, right? Till the day we die, we are going to be struggling and working on our discipleship. God knows that. That's why we have the sacraments. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have the teachings of the church. So that at all times in our lives, we can keep asking ourselves, what do I need to do to get better at being a disciple of the Lord? So we're all in it together. We need to support one another, encourage one another, counsel one another, correct one another, so that we are what we are called to be, God's beloved children who have been empowered by God to go out into the world and tell other people about Jesus Christ and to invite them into the church so that they too can receive the most powerful food and drink, the most powerful gift that anyone can imagine the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. So given that, I just want to review how we receive communion. And I try to do that every year because some people do it in ways that I'm not sure what they're doing. And they surprise me when they come up. Okay, you can either receive communion on the tongue or in the hand. If you come up, when you come up, you make a bow. It doesn't have to be a profound bow. Some people will genuflect. That's fine. That's fine. But some way of saying, I'm about to receive the one true God. That's the what we're trying to think of at that point. And then when the minister of communion says to you, the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, our response is, amen. Say it clearly. Say it loudly. Because this is one of the ways in which we say, yes, I believe that this is truly the flesh and the blood of God himself. And that amen literally means, yes, so it is, I believe. So that word is said by Catholics all over the world when they receive communion. So we are in union with all Catholics on this day as we come forward to receive communion. So amen. And if you receive communion on the tongue, well, you just open your mouth, put your tongue out, and wait for the priest or the extraordinary minister of Holy Communion to put the host on your tongue. If you receive in the hand, one of the great saints of the early church puts it this way, make of your hands a throne to receive the King of the universe. That's what we're doing. We're receiving the King of the universe. So make of your hands a throne. So this is what he says. Take one hand, put your other hand on top of it to enthrone it. So this is how you're going to receive the body of Christ. And wait until the Eucharistic minister puts the host in your hand to pick it up and receive it. So again, a bow before you receive the body and the blood. If you receive on the tongue, fine. Or if you receive in the hands, to make a throne of your hand. Because again, you are receiving God himself, his very flesh. And then as you go back and then receive the blood. And then as you go back to your pew, just take a few moments to reflect on what you have just done. And to ask yourself where you are in your journey, what you need of God, what you need to do to be closer to God and to be a better disciple of the Lord. So what a wonderful gift God has given us, and it's up to us to appreciate it, to give thanks for it, to find joy in it, because it should be a joyful moment when we receive the body and blood of Christ, because here is God once again giving himself over to us, putting himself in our hands literally. And how do we want to respond to that great love of God? And again, very importantly, remember that when you go forth, you're called to live what you received, Jesus Christ. You're called to live the life of Christ in your own lives, in your own daily routines, bringing the healing love of God wherever you go. That's our commitment. That's our commission that all of us have been given, to take what we have received and to take it into the world as a sign of the goodness and the desire of God for love and peace and reconciliation. So we have a lot of work to do, but it is the work, the most important work that we're called to do. So remember as you go forth to take what you have heard today, what you have done today, and live it each and every hour, each and every day.